Well, this morning we're going to continue in our series on fasting. And before you play that video, Caitlin, I want to share this with the church. I took a look back at our attendance from the time I started this series on fasting until today. And let me just say, we were bumping 70s when I first started on the first day. I mean, we're in the mid-60s, lower 70s, doing real good. Then the third one came along, we were in the 50s, and the fourth one came along, we're in the 40s. Now, I know that today we're probably around the 50s range, but let me just say, I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, Miss Gloria, but something's going on here. I figure if I continue to preach on fasting, everybody will leave in about a month or two. So this is going to be the last sermon on fasting, but let me say this before I start today. I know that you come in here and I preach on something that seems to be very obscure and something that's not been preached about a lot, like fasting. And you think to yourself, you know, how does this benefit me? How does this further my spiritual walk? What good is this? You know, it's painful. It's difficult. I've never done it. I made a commitment before you ever started preaching, Pastor, that I'm never gonna do it. Right? So the more you preach on it, the more bored I get with it, the more tired I am of the messages. You stretch it out to 5 messages and people are coming in going, another one on fasting, come on, have not heard this enough, get over it. But my question to you today, folks, is what good is a church service if you are not challenged by the Word of God? If you don't walk in here on Sundays and if you're not challenged by what we study and what we read, then we're not doing what we're supposed to do here on Sundays. And more so than that, if you don't respond to the challenge, you're not picking up your end of this deal. So if God says to me, Pastor Shane, you need to preach a 5-week sermon on fasting. Every week you need to talk about it. Because people in your church, in your congregation, yet Christianity at large, need to hear these messages, they need to respond to it, and they need to begin this practice again. If that's the message I receive from the Lord, and I bring that into you week after week after week, then I am doing what God has asked me to do. God's message is being preached, right? That's what the prophets in the Old Testament were supposed to do. God delivers the message, says, go tell Israel. They went and told Israel, and half the time they got killed for it. Right? So if you're here today and you're saying enough of the fasting, I'm not fasting, I'm never going to fast, we've learned enough about it, move on, I pray that you would check your spirit. I pray that you would check your spirit because God wants you to hear these messages. He wanted me to study these messages. There is something of benefit to grow the Christian closer to Jesus Christ through these messages. And if you're missing it, it's not the Holy Spirit's fault and it's not your pastor's fault. It's your fault. Amen? So I hope I haven't been running everybody off with these things, but little coincidence going on here. So I want to show you a video today. Caitlin's going to show this to you, so pay close attention. 30 seconds. You might need to turn it up, Caitlin.
Greatness is not given. Greatness is taken. Taken in the summer. When no one is looking.
40 years of hydration science in every bottle, so you can take what's yours.
All right. Now, some of you are thinking, what is this guy doing showing a Gatorade commercial on Sunday morning? Who cares? Well, you know, I watch football sometimes, and my wife will attest to this. I'll sit and I'll watch the game, Tim, and I'll say, how could they miss that tackle? Even I could make that tackle, right? Have you ever done that? I say, how did the quarterback miss that throw? Even I could make that throw, right? And I'm overweight and I'm 35 years old. I can throw the ball 10 yards. Give me a break. Even I could block that guy. I could just put my fat body right in the middle of the line, stay right here, and just do this. And I could block that guy. Come on, people. Give me a break. I get so mad at these football games, and I look at these players, and I think, you know, I could do what they do, at least for a play or two. Have you ever seen a professional athlete train? You saw 30 seconds of that guy's training. Now, how many of you here go out on a daily basis and lift skidder tires over and over and over again in the middle of the hot sun? How many of you been on a treadmill this week? Anybody? Nobody. Okay. How many of you ever ran across a football field with a parachute behind your back to slow you down because you needed the extra, you needed the extra resistance, right? Got a parachute on. How many of you have ever got out and you did this number on all those little pads so you could work on your agility, right? Because it was so important, Brother Billy, that you had greater agility the next day than you had the day before. See, the thing is we see these professional athletes all the time, and we assume because we're laying on our couch eating potato chips, drinking pop, we're well rested, right? That we could do whatever it is that they do. The truth of the matter is that it takes a tremendous amount of discipline to do what they do. And you see a professional or college athlete that loses their discipline, what ends up happening is they lose their career. They get injured or they get cut because they end up getting fat. They end up getting a few seconds shaved off their 40 time. They can't keep up. They can't defend because there's only this thin line separating people who are just good and people who are great at sports. And the separating line is always discipline. How do you eat? How do you work out? How do you take care of your body? How do you prepare yourself for that game? Christians, our lives are so much a reflection of this that I had to share that example with you. In fact, that example is very biblical, and we're going to read about that today. Paul actually made a comparison that we're going to read about to the spiritual life and the discipline we need to stay focused on Jesus Christ and the type of discipline it takes for an athlete to compete in a race. And what I want to share with you this morning is that if you're here today and you're struggling, and you know there's sin in your life, there's a habit that you haven't broken, there's something in your life that's not going the way it's supposed to go, I'm going to tell you right now, it probably comes down to one simple word. Discipline. Discipline. Now, just to prove my point, I want to ask this question. How many things in your life, if it's going to go well, if you're going to succeed, depend on good, proper discipline? Anybody, anything. Come on. All right, college classes. If you're going to get the education, you're going to get that degree, you have to do the hard work. You got to study when it's time to study. You got to take the test and show up for class. You got to read the books in advance. You have to set yourself some sort of a schedule, and you got to stick with it, right? It takes discipline. Something else. Marriage. Marriage takes discipline. Let me share a story just from this morning with you. Where my marriage required discipline that I had not put in advance, okay? I went into my bedroom, and we had some clothes at the end of the bed in a basket, and I was digging around in there, and I found this red shirt, and I said, I want to wear this today, and I picked it up, and I smelled it, and went, ooh, that's dirty, and it's in the clean clothes basket. So I went in there, and I threw it on the floor, and I said, April, that shirt's dirty. I just threw it on the floor, you know? And she said, well, if you put it in the hamper, it wouldn't be dirty. We had a little fuss. And then the Lord dealt with me on the way to church. And He dealt with me on the way to church. And what I realized is if I had developed some discipline in my life, and not just in throwing clothes in the hamper, but a great many things, I would avoid half the arguments my wife and I have. Because marriage, Brother Travis, takes a lot of discipline. It takes hard work, it takes commitment, and you got to do it day in, day out. Give me another one. We got school, we got marriage, what else? Good health and weight loss, right? Listen, if you wake up every morning and you just eat like, you know, you're going to starve to death if you don't eat everything in the house every day, and then you go, why am I so fat? I just can't lose this extra 2 pounds. I just don't understand why I'm overweight. I never used to have this problem in high school. Well, guess what, folks? Say what?
She says, why do you have a woman's voice?
I'm sorry, I default to voices like that, and I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't do it. What I should do is I should say it in a gender-neutral voice, like this one right here. Why can't I lose this weight? Why can't I get these pounds off? And the truth is you could if you sat down and you disciplined yourself and you said, I'm going to have this much food for breakfast, this much for lunch, this much for supper, I'm not going to have the bag of chips before bedtime, I'm not going to do the things that fat people do, and if you do the things that skinny people do, you will be skinny people. That's how it works, okay? It takes a lot of discipline. Now, how many of you, let's just be honest, I'll raise my hand, struggle with discipline of exercise and nutrition? Sure, it takes discipline. Takes discipline. Now, give me another one. We got school. We got marriage. We got health. Huh? Finances take discipline, right? We know that God wants us to be a good steward of what He's blessed us with. We know He wants us to tithe. We know He wants us to be generous with our overflow. We know He wants us to care for our family. Amen? Right? That's all scriptural. Yet, many of us lack discipline because we don't practice doing good things with our money on a daily, a weekly, monthly, yearly basis. We just kind of let it go crazy. And then we all of a sudden say, why don't I have enough money in the bank? Why do I have hot checks out? Right? What's wrong? I can't pay my bills. Well, odds are you haven't developed the discipline you need, whether that's in working at a job and keeping a job for a long period of time, saving your money, allotting your money properly, etc., etc., etc. Money and finances take a tremendous amount of discipline. Evelyn? Ooh, I thought about that one on the way in, right? We don't think about stuff like that, but some of us just let it fly, don't we? Some of us just let stuff fly out of our mouth, and we don't even think, is this gossip? Is this going to hurt somebody's feelings? Is this going to bring someone down, or is it going to lift them up? We just let stuff fly. And the truth is, it takes discipline, especially if we're naturally have this predisposition to just talk about everything and say what's ever on our mind. We have to practice, catch ourselves, discipline ourselves. I won't talk in this moment. For the first time in my life, I'll just shut up. Huh? For the first time, I will just close my mouth. You know, guys, I'm going to tell you, this goes back to marriage. Gentlemen, this goes back to marriage. I'm going to tell you why. If you will practice silence, you'll avoid the other 50% of all the arguments, right? If you will just not respond and just say, whoop, no argument, right? That's a joke, but still it works a lot of times. So my point is this. Life is full of situations that if you want to excel, it requires a tremendous amount of discipline. I want you to think of even spiritual practices. Spiritual practices take a tremendous amount of discipline, right? If you struggle with pornography and sexual addiction, it takes discipline to stay off the computer. It takes discipline to stay out of strip clubs or the places that you would go to see those types of things. If you struggle with smoking or you struggle with drinking or you struggle with any kind of drug, hey, anybody here recovering from any of that stuff? You know it takes a tremendous amount of discipline to wake up every day and not touch that stuff. It's just that's the way it is. It's hard. It's difficult. What about in our spiritual growth and development? How many of you have a disciplined Bible study? You can walk in here today and say, Pastor, I have a very disciplined Bible study. At 4:30 every morning, I wake up, I brew a cup of coffee, and I sit down and I study God's Word for an hour and a half. And then I meditate on it for another 30 minutes. And then I break out my Greek and my Hebrew, and I start to study Greek and Hebrew, and I start to think about how these words apply to my life, and then I set some goals for myself. Most of you are going, hey, I just thought it was okay that I read a scripture verse. It takes discipline to study your word and be about the Lord's business outside of church, does it not? To have a disciplined prayer life, to have a disciplined scripture study, to have a disciplined church attendance, it takes discipline, hard work, day in, day out, week in, week out. I know you're saying, Pastor, man, you're stretching this out. But I want you to understand where the problem lies. If you struggle with sin, if you struggle with sin in any way, how many of you know it's a sin not to provide for your family financially? It's a sin. How many of you know it's a sin when you overeat? It's a sin not to take care of the body that God blessed you with. How many of you know it's a sin when you're shackled to addictions that you don't have to be shackled to, that destroy your body or destroy other people's lives? How many of you know that it's a sin to allow your mouth to run rampant and burn down every bridge around you? It's a sin. All the stuff we just discussed can lead to sinful behavior. So if you say, I'm not going to be disciplined, I'm not interested in this message today, Pastor, what you're saying is, I'm okay with sin running rampant in my life. So here's the problem today, church, is that we struggle day in and day out with sinful practice, sinful activity, things that we've learned over time, practices in our lifestyle that are so ingrained that you say, I can never be rid of this. I can never live without such and such. I can never live without doing this or doing that or saying this. That's a lie straight from hell. That's a lie from Satan. And he wants you to believe it. He doesn't want you to have power. He doesn't want you to tap in to what the Scripture teaches you that you can tap into. He wants you to be lost. He wants you to be sad. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to be shackled and chained. He wants you to be a slave to all of that sin in your life. But Jesus came to lift all of that off. Amen? And I promise you, there is a biblical formula for doing it. Do you want to hear it today? Just like that athlete trained, you've got to train as well. And we're going to talk about today fasting as body discipline. Fasting as body discipline. Caitlin, if you can bring up our definition of fasting. And this is the one we've been using the whole time and it still applies here today. It says, fasting is the natural, inevitable response of a person to a grievous and sacred moment in life. Now, if you're going to fast in response to this discipline you need, what is the grievous and sacred moment? What about sin? Are you not grieved that your life is full of sin? Are you not grieved that Satan has you bound? Are you not grieved that the temptations still work all the time? Aren't you grieved? Aren't you upset at all in your spirit that you've been lied to and you believe that lie and you're still living in that lie right now? And maybe this is the first time you've ever heard of this stuff. I don't know. But I'm telling you this. It should grieve us when we fail in our walk with holiness in Jesus Christ. It should. You know, you should never get so comfortable that you say, I'm never going to be rid of this. I can never be like Jesus. It's never going to happen. So I'm just giving up and just trusting the Lord's going to forgive me when I get to heaven. Folks, that is not what God has called us to. He has forgiven us by grace, through faith. That's the truth. But He's also called us to holiness and righteousness. He's called us to live a life in response to His commandments. Amen? He's called us to live like He lived and walk how He walked. And we need to be about His business. And if we're not, fasting is the natural and inevitable response of a person to that grievous moment in their life. It's natural. So let's get into this. I want to show you the Scriptures this morning. Let's jump right into the first Scripture this morning. Caitlin, if you can bring it up. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. And in all the cases of Scripture today, it's going to be Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. I want you to pay close attention to the way that he phrases these Scriptures and what he's actually talking about. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." The word temperate means self-restrained. That means you have self-control. So everyone who competes for the prize is self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my what? Body. And I bring it into what? Subjection. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now I want you to listen to what he's saying. He's saying that athletes, if they want to win, if they actually want to be competitive in that race that they run or that athletic event that they participate in, they have to gain a level of self-control. They have to be temperate, right? Because if they get too fat, they're going to be too slow, right? If they don't take care of their muscles, they're not going to be strong enough. If they don't work on their agility, they're not going to be able to move like they need to move when it's time. If they don't work on their heart and lungs, they're going to give out before they get to the end. So an athlete has to wake up every day and they've got to say, I've got to work on my cardio. I got to work on my fat loss. I got to work on my muscles. I got to work on my dexterity and my limberness, right? I've got to get ready if I want to really compete in this thing. Now, Paul is comparing this to the life of a Christian. And he says, now they do this stuff to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So he's saying these people do it for a gold medal or a trophy. For goodness sakes, these people are doing this for trash, for garbage, for nothing. We're doing this for something that lasts forever, an imperishable crown. A crown that's not even of this earth. So we should take it even more seriously. We should be more self-controlled. We should be more temperate. We should be more disciplined than the most disciplined athlete out there. Now ask yourself this question as we preach through this, church. How many of you here today could honestly say, in my spiritual life, I am more disciplined than the most disciplined professional athlete? I mean, I am more disciplined. I got it together. I mean, I am working towards this goal. I am striving, not because I'm earning my salvation, amen, but because this is what God called me to do in response to the blessing of His grace. I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to get this done for the Lord. Far too few of us are lazy. We're couch potatoes. We're chomping on the chips, drinking the soda. We're way, way too relaxed. We get to it when we get to it. We fill in the blanks with our Christianity and everything else in our life takes priority. Is this sounding familiar? Right, I'll get to God when it's time for God, maybe, unless something else gets in the way of that, and then I'll do that, and then maybe I skip God this week altogether. Are you following me? He says, now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. What he's saying is I have a purpose. I'm not doing this for nothing. I'm doing it because I know what the goal is. I know what the end game is. I know what the prize looks like, and I want it. How many of you want that prize? I know I want it. I want the prize. I have hope for the prize. And he says, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I what? Discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. So we know that Paul disciplines his body because the body is the source of all that temptation. Nine is the only amen on. Your body is the source of all the temptation. You can trace every single sin in your life ever back to something that happened in your body and your brain. Whether it's bad parenting or, you know, bad marriage, or whether it's that you don't read your Bible enough, or whether it's that you're greedy. I mean, whatever you want to say, if it's a sin, somehow you can trace it back to the body and the mind tempting you and into something that is displeasing to the Lord. I promise, every time. So, my question to you is, how did he discipline his body? If he says, I discipline my body, what does he mean by that? Let's take a look at two scriptures out of 2 Corinthians. Caitlin, if you can bring the first one up. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, and in fasting or hunger. Some of your scriptures say hunger. So we know that because it says fasting, this was not imposed on Paul. This is not people, you know, threw him somewhere in a prison and said, we're not going to ever feed you or give you any water. This is Paul, because he included all the rest of that. He said distresses and stripes and imprisonments. He's not talking about that stuff. He's saying, as part of what I do as a minister to discipline myself, I fast. And it's part of the difficulty of being a Christian. Amen? It's part of my regimen. Now let's take a look at 2 Corinthians This is the next verse, 2 Corinthians 11:27. He says, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings. How much? Often in cold and nakedness. Now, I want you to understand that if Paul's writing these letters to the same church in Corinth, right? 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And he says in 1 Corinthians, run this race like you mean it, like you've got a purpose, right? He says you should subject your body, discipline your body to get ready for what the Lord has in store for you, because you got to be prepared. And then he says here, part of his regiment, part of the things that he deals with as a Christian on a daily, weekly, monthly basis is fastings often, hunger and thirst. Now, there's people who would dispute that, you know, maybe these were imposed on him as some sort of persecution. But as I read the scriptures, and if you read the surrounding scriptures, you'll find out he listed things in detail. So if this was something from imprisonment or, you know, persecution from the outside, he wouldn't have put all that stuff in there. This is separate from all that. He lists it as something else he does that's difficult in his Christian walk, but that strengthens his Christian walk, right? Now, we've seen time and time again that fasting is beneficial for the Christian in a lot of different ways. Today, I want you to see in the scriptures I've shared with you in 1 and 2 Corinthians that fasting is a part of learning to discipline your body to do something it does not want to do. How many of you here wake up on Sunday morning? How many of you woke up the last four Sunday mornings and said, I can't wait to get to church and hear that sermon on fasting, because I love fasting so much. It's been such a big part of my life since Pastor Shane started preaching it. I enjoy being hungry. I enjoy feeling like I'm starving. I don't even like water and food anymore. Just, who cares? I just may stop eating altogether. Nobody said that because you hate it and you know you hate it. You don't want to fast. You don't even want to skip a meal, okay? But see, that's where the discipline comes in. And that's why we're not disciplined in all these other things, because we don't want to do them. And we're people with free choice. And we say, you know what? I don't have to do it, so I'm not going to do it, right? Nobody's going to make me. I'm not a child. I can do whatever I please. So I am going to do what I want to do. The practice of fasting for body discipline gets you in this frame of mind that says, I don't like it. It stinks. It's difficult. I'd rather not, but I'm going to do it because it's going to benefit me down the road. It's going to help me in other areas. It's going to help prepare me to be disciplined to do other things. Folks, if you can get on a daily or a weekly or even a monthly regimen, some sort of regimen of fasting, and you can skip meals for almost 24 hours at a clip, you can do just about anything to discipline your body in other areas. If you can get on a regimen of sacrificing food and water. Now, I don't know if you believe me or not, but I'm telling you right now, some of the worst pain you'll ever feel is at about the 18th or 19th hour. And your stomach, I mean, people say my stomach's growling, but they don't understand. The real stomach growling is when people hear it, like, rah, you know, like, was that you? What's going on? And then it doubles you over. You're in pain because your stomach is literally shrinking. It wants food. Your body craves food. And you say, I'm going to be disciplined enough not to do this. That discipline is going to lead to more discipline in other areas. Or at least it can't hurt. Amen? Can't hurt. So this is what Paul did. Now, you're saying, hey, that's great, Pastor. Fasting, all right. You know, it could be a benefit. But you know what? What makes you think I can be disciplined enough to fast if I can't be disciplined enough to do all this other stuff in the first place? I have no discipline. So how am I going to be disciplined enough to sacrifice food and water? How in the world can I do this? I've tried. I failed. I've tried. I've failed. Nothing's working. I've never been able to accomplish any of these goals. I've never been able to break these habits. I've never been able to change this thing in my marriage or my parenting. It's not going to happen. I've given up. Well, I'm telling you this right now, and I'm going to give you the X factor in all of this. And it's called the Holy Spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit. The reason that you fail at this discipline time and time again is because you either don't understand the Holy Spirit, or you're not responding to the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk for a second about the Holy Spirit. We'll move right into this. And this is what the Holy Spirit has to do with it. Caitlin, if you can just bring up the scripture right after the second point. Bring up the scripture. Acts 7:51. I love these types of scriptures referring to the Old Testament Israelites. And this is in the course of Stephen and his stoning. How many of you are familiar with that? First martyr in the scriptures, first Christian martyr. And he kind of gave this history of the Israelites. He gave this history, and he was getting on these Pharisees pretty heavy. And he says this in Acts 7:51. He quotes scripture. He says, "You what? Stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." That means you're not real Jews, right? Because you may have been circumcised physically, but you've not had the heathen cut out of you spiritually. Are you following me? Nothing in your soul has changed. Your spirit is still a heathen. It's still way out there, away from the Lord. He says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always," what? "Resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." Every time I talk to somebody and they say, "Pastor, I can't get this right." And sometimes when I think of myself and I say, "Why can't I get rid of this thing? Why is it that this keeps coming back to haunt me over and over again?" I mean, how many of you are here today? You said you needed more discipline. You said there are areas of your life that you really got to have this stuff, and you've been failing God over and over again. And you know you're called to holiness. You know you're called to righteous living. You know you're called to follow Jesus. And you try sometimes, and you try, and it never works. Maybe it's because you resist the Holy Spirit. You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ear. How many of you here, you don't have to raise your hands to this, you've been stiff-necked. You've been stiff-necked. And see, some people think, well, how do you resist God? You know, there's a whole movement of theology that says you can't resist God. When God wants something done, it's done. You can't resist it. You can't say no. It's not going to happen. Let me tell you this right now. In the Old Testament as well as the New, it says they what? Resisted the Holy Spirit. They pushed back. They said no. If they didn't resist the Holy Spirit, they would not have crucified Jesus Christ. If they had not resisted the Holy Spirit, they would not have put to death Stephen. If these people did not resist the Holy Spirit, they would have given in to the new covenant. They would have understood what was going on and what God was trying to do in their lives. Listen, folks, the Bible teaches us that we can resist the Holy Spirit. So when you're in that moment and you're struggling with that temptation or that habit or that thing that's been nagging you for years and years, and it's keeping you from this holy living that you want to live, you know that God's not pleased with it. What's happening is the Holy Spirit's coming in and He's giving you conviction. And it's saying, "Rick, don't do this. Jesse, don't say that. Brother Billy, don't think that. Tim, don't do this thing that you're thinking about doing. I don't want you to do this. This is not the way Christians behave. This is not what Jesus wants you to do. Don't do it, please." And you're a liar if you've never heard that. If you say today, "I've never heard God speak to me ever in any situation," you're either not saved, hello, or you're lying, okay? Because it happens to me all the time. It happened to me this morning when I had that fuss with my wife. He got on me on the way to church, and he said, "You're wrong, and you should not have said the things you said. You better apologize." Now, I could have resisted, and I could have said, "No, she's wrong, and I'm the man, and she's going to listen. And I'm going to go home and throw all the clothes in the floor. And I dare to say anything." Hey. But you know, I could have done that. And that's a response that happens in a lot of marriages. In a lot of situations, what happens is I could have said no to God. I could have said, "Lord, I resist you. I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm pushing you out. My neck is now stiff. And I'm going to do what I want." And I'm going to tell you, folks, 100 times out of 100, when you fail in living a holy life, that's why you fail. You're flat out resisting the Holy Spirit. He's giving you what you need. He's leading you where you want to go. He's giving you all that you need to get through that moment successfully. But you don't want to get through it successfully. You want to do what you want to do, and you do it. Simple as that. Now, let me share another scripture with you right after this one. This scripture right here is out of Romans 15:16. It says, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering to the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You know what that word sanctified means? It means made holy, consecrated to God. Now, I don't know if you want to argue or debate this, and we can do it at some other point, okay? But I'm going to tell you, if the Holy Spirit is what sanctifies you, it's what makes you holy, it's what allows you to live a holy life. Are you following me, church? And you become stiff-necked and you resist the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're not sanctified. And you should want to be sanctified. You should want to give the Holy Spirit full access to your heart and your mind and lead you wherever He wants to lead you. It says right here that the Gentiles might be acceptable, the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Folks, fasting is body discipline, and discipline in general can work if you'll put God in it. If you'll include the Holy Spirit, you will succeed. Now, let's take a look at the last one. You're saying, how do I get started with this? Because I'm so excited now to fast. I'm so excited now to discipline my body the way that it needs to be disciplined. How do I get this started? Let's look in Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. It said, the disciples of John and the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, why the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will what? Fast in those days, right? So what's going on here is they're asking Jesus, you know, why aren't your disciples fasting? All of us, we're supposed to fast. This was a common occurrence in their culture, in their faith, were to fast each week at certain times as part of a disciplined fast. It wasn't in response to the other stuff we've discussed. It was just every week they fasted. Okay, it was part of their body discipline. And they said, Jesus, why are your guys not doing this? Everybody else is. And he says, they don't need to fast. I'm here with them now. Right? They don't need to get any closer to God. Right? I'm here. But there'll come a day when they'll have to resume that type of fasting. Are you following me this morning? He said it himself. There will come a day where they have to resume that type of fasting. Now, Caitlin, do I have another scripture up there this morning? All right, this is not a scripture, so I'll get to this in just a second. But I want you to understand that Jesus acknowledged that their culture and their faith fasted, not for any purpose other than body discipline. It was a weekly type of fast. And he said that even my disciples are going to start this again when I'm not with them. It's going to happen. Now, I want to share with you a part of a book. It's a Christian book, but it's not Scripture. All right? So, Pastor Shane did not preach out of some book and say it was Scripture when it wasn't. Amen? This is a Christian document, but it's not the Bible. And it says this, but do not let your fast coincide with those of the hypocrites. They fast on Monday and Thursday, so you must fast when? On Wednesday and Friday. That was the idea of the early Christians to distinguish themselves from the Jews or the Pharisees that rejected Jesus. They said, we still need to do what? We still need to fast. It's part of who we are. We've got to do this fasting, but we're just not going to do it on the same days, right? We're going to do it on different days. Now, we've all but lost this in the modern church. We don't fast, we don't talk about fasting, we don't preach about fasting. Fasting is not even useful to us. I mean, we find no use in it whatsoever. I'm hoping today that you have seen, not only did Paul fast for body discipline, and he definitely encouraged us to discipline our bodies and minds, amen, to conform to the ways of Christ. But also, this was a practice that was carried over from the Israelites, the Jewish people, all the way to the Christian church. In the early church, it's only recently been forgotten and neglected. Amen? This is a way that you can bring your body and your mind back into conformity with the Lord and His will in your life. Begin fasting and disciplining yourself in this area, and it can lead to discipline in other areas that you so desperately need. Now, here's our application for today. First, identify something in your life that requires some sort of body discipline and face it. Everybody here has got something. Don't lie to yourself. Don't allow yourself to walk out of here and pretend that you're perfectly holy and you're exactly where you need to be. There's no way that's the truth. There's no way. You got something you need to work on today in some part of your life, and it needs discipline for you to make it a habit, for you to break a habit, for you to change your lifestyle. It requires discipline. So identify that thing. And maybe you got multiple things. I know I could think of a lot of things, Miss Marilyn. I really could. But think of one thing. Focus on it this morning. Say, I need more discipline in this area. I need it from the Lord. I need it from the Scriptures. I need to learn how to live differently. And then once you identify that thing, commit to a stationary fast for the purpose of training your body to respond to the will of the Holy Spirit. This is what they did in the early church. I believe that's what Paul was talking about. We need to train our bodies to be disciplined and respond to the Holy Spirit. So think of that thing that needs to change. And then commit to a stationary fast. And what that means, and you're not going to like this, this is the big boy. All these other fasts could happen when something else happens in response to it. Stationary fast means it's planned. Once a week, twice a week, you know, three times a month. And you got it on the calendar, and you're going to fast at these times. You're going to discipline your body on purpose. And in those moments, you're going to pray and fast so that you will respond to the Holy Spirit in that area of your life. Amen? That you got in your head right now. Respond to that area of your life and purify it and make it holy in the sight of Jesus Christ. So, I don't know if you're going to go home and fast. I don't know if any of you are going to take this seriously, if any of you are going to plan it on your calendars, but I can promise you it's biblical. In every sermon that I preach, fasting is appropriate and it's biblical and it's necessary. And forgetting it would be the same as forgetting baptism or prayer or communion or any of the other things that they practiced in the Old and New Testaments faithfully. And I don't know why we stick it out there away from all this other stuff as if it's not important, but I believe that it is today. So I want to encourage you, church, as I ask you to stand and Jamie comes to close us today, just ask God if He wants you to fast. Ask Him if He wants you to be more disciplined in some area of your life and what that area is. Don't depend on my sermon or something that I said to lead you. Depend on the Holy Spirit. And He's going to take you where you need to go.